welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice. We hope that you enjoy the program.
Hello, my name is Ashley Cutnow, and I am a shareholder at Ogletree Deacons. And this is our podcast on unemployment. We plan to have a short series of podcasts related to unemployment and the COVID-19 crisis to help employers work through all of the variable issues related to furloughs and layoffs of employees, as well as returning employees to work from a layoff or a furlough. The first of our series is really going to be a basics of unemployment. To understand all of the changes that have been made as a result of COVID-19, it is important to understand the basic underlying premise of how unemployment works. For many employers, we found that they have never been in a situation where they've had to do large-scale furloughs or layoffs. And so there are many basic questions as to how the process works and why the process is working the way it currently is in the COVID-19 crisis. This is an issue of top concern for employers. As of the date of this recording, we have more than 36 million Americans who have been either put on a layoff or a furlough in the last 2 months. This number reaches Great Depression proportions as far as the number of people who are on unemployment. So how this is done and how employers can work to help their impacted working groups can be critically important as far as the trust that employees have with employers as they are recalled to work and just in helping our impacted individuals. There are several parts of the country that have been impacted more than others, although the entire country has seen a significant in unemployment numbers as a result of COVID-19. So to start off, I just wanted to give a very brief background into unemployment. So unemployment is an insurance system. It is a joint program between the federal government and the states. At the federal level, it is run by the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor puts out loose guidelines that the states must follow, and then the states can create their own individualized guidelines within certain parameters. In general, there are two types of employers who use a state unemployment system. The first is the most common type of employer, which is a contributory employer. A contributory employer pays into the unemployment system in a process much like insurance. They are paying in along and along for use of the services when they are needed. The second type of employer is called a reimbursable employer. Reimbursable employers are normally limited to 501c3s, nonprofits, and some governmental entities. Reimbursable employers do not pay along and along into the system, but they do reimburse the unemployment agency at 100% when the services of the unemployment agency are utilized. So how does unemployment work in general? So every state has certain requirements that an employee must meet to be eligible for unemployment. For example, in every state, an employee must have earned a certain minimum level of base wages to be subject to unemployment benefits. These base wages have a look-back period for their calculation. It is not limited to their most recent employer, but someone does have to have been paying into the system for that employee for them to be eligible for unemployment if needed. Also, generally, an employee or an impacted individual must be able and available to look for new work when they are on unemployment. Prior to COVID-19, there have always been work search requirements to receive unemployment benefits. And an impacted individual must take a job if one is offered. So if they're offered another job, and it is at all similar to the last job that they had as far as their rate of pay and those types of criteria, they must take that job to remain eligible for unemployment. And lastly, in all cases, to be eligible for unemployment, they must have lost their job through no fault of their own. So prior to COVID-19, there was not a method for an employee to quit or to be terminated and still receive unemployment benefits. Prior to COVID-19, it was often the case that an employer would contest unemployment if they had terminated an employee for cause, and then that employee would try and get unemployment benefits. One of the reasons this was important to employers was because their employment rating for unemployment was based on the number of claims that was paid out. So the more claims an employer had, the higher the unemployment insurance rate would be for the next year. As a result, employers had incentive to ensure that only those employees who were truly eligible for unemployment received unemployment. So those are the base backgrounds to how the program worked prior to COVID-19. The amount an employee or an impacted individual would receive if they were using unemployment and eligible is different in each state. Each state sets the minimum and maximum amount of unemployment an individual can receive. In addition, the states set the calculation parameters for how they're going to calculate that base wage period. Each state also has the ability to set things such as qualifying criteria, as well as how partial unemployment would work. Partial unemployment is someone who was working part-time, or they've taken a job that is below the wage rate of a prior job that they have taken. Prior to COVID-19, and still continuing today, it's important to understand that the purpose of unemployment was not to pay them a salary on unemployment that is equal to the salary they were earning prior to unemployment. Some of that has changed as a result of the CARES Act, but as a general principle, the purpose of unemployment is not to make an individual whole. Once the COVID-19 crisis began to hit, the federal government took several actions that impacted unemployment. The very first action happened through a letter from the Department of Labor. This letter instructed states that they were able to loosen their qualification guidelines to allow more people to qualify for unemployment than their previous qualifications had allowed. We saw some states, primarily those that were impacted early by COVID-19, make some initial changes to their unemployment qualification guidelines. The changes that were made were things such as, if you were sick with COVID-19, could you get unemployment? Things of that nature. We also saw waiting weeks begin to be changed across the country. The vast majority of these changes were done by governors through executive orders. The second change that we saw happened when the Families First Coronavirus Response Act was passed. When the FFCRA was passed, there was a significant piece of that legislation that had to do with unemployment. The FFCRA changes that happened were primarily based, it again, encouraging states to loosen their criteria for unemployment. It also provided some additional funding for state agencies so that they would be able to fund and provide additional potential benefits through monetary incentives to states. The third thing that happened was the CARES Act. The CARES Act made several significant changes to unemployment. In fact, it was more of the massive change to unemployment that we're seeing now. In general, the purpose of the CARES Act changes to unemployment was to try and create a system that would get money into the hands of impacted individuals very quickly. The first had to do with reimbursable employers. Again, those are the employers who did not pay into the system along, but instead reimbursed the unemployment systems 100% when employment services were needed. The main change made for reimbursable employers is that now the federal government, through the CARES Act, will pick up 50% of that reimbursement rate. As a result, a reimbursable employer is now only required to reimburse the state 50% for each impacted individual. This reimbursement time period remains the same as it was under any state unemployment law that was in place prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Second, the CARES Act made a couple of other big changes. First, it gave incentive to states to again make it easier for impacted individuals to receive benefits. The main change that was encouraged was a waiver of the waiting week. Most, but not all, states had what's called a waiting week prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. In essence, a waiting week is exactly what it sounds like. An impacted individual had to wait an additional week when they were unemployed before they could apply for unemployment. The CARES Act encouraged states to waive this waiting week for all individuals and pays for the waiver of that waiting week. In addition, the CARES Act did three main things. First, it created an additional $600 benefit per week for employees who are now impacted and are on a layoff or a furlough. What that means is that any individual who was receiving unemployment will receive an additional $600 per week in addition to the state unemployment amount that they were originally going to receive. This benefit runs through the end of July. When we say the end of July, the technical end date is through July 31st. However, July 31st is a Friday. Unemployment runs on a weekly basis, and there is no such thing as part-time unemployment. As a result, most states have unemployment that ends on a Saturday or a Sunday as far as an unemployment week is concerned. For most individuals, the $600 benefit will last be received for the unemployment week ending July 24th or 25th, depending which state you are in. The second major change that was made is that unemployment can now be extended through federal funding. If you have an impacted individual who is unemployed for a length of time that is longer than the state's maximum unemployment weekly time limit, there is now an additional 13 weeks added to that length of time up to and until December 31st. So if a person is in, say, South Carolina, where the unemployment allows for 20 weeks of unemployment, someone may now get 33 weeks of unemployment as long as that unemployment ends by December 31st. In many other states, the unemployment maximum is 26 weeks. As a result, they'll be eligible for 39 weeks up to and until the end of the year. Both the additional $600 and these additional weeks of unemployment will be paid for by the federal government and will not have an impact on employers, the state unemployment funds, or any kind of rating. It is purely paid for by the CARES Act through unemployment. The last major change that was made was the creation of what's called a Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Fund. So Pandemic Unemployment Assistance is a new type of unemployment that is funded by the federal government that allows coverage for individuals who were not previously in the system. For the most part, this is intended to cover your self-employed workers, independent contractors, and gig workers. However, it also includes and covers individuals who do not qualify under the state system. The primary means in which a person will not qualify under a state system are individuals who are in the following buckets. Let's say you offered someone a job and now you had to rescind that job offer. That person will not have base wages or an employer about which to attach unemployment. That individual will now be eligible to apply for PUA. Second, if you had an individual who is now working for a company who is laid off, but they had not been working for that company for a length of time that allowed them to qualify for the base wage period, they would qualify for pandemic unemployment. As I said previously, many states have a requirement that you must be able and available to take a job. As a result, unless the state changed its qualifying criteria through an executive order. In many cases, someone who is sick with COVID-19 or taking care of someone with COVID-19 or who is at home to take care of children who no longer have school or daycare may not be eligible under the state unemployment system because they are not able to take another job if one is offered to them. Those people may now qualify for pandemic unemployment assistance if they are rejected from the state unemployment system. So pandemic unemployment radically expanded the number of people who will be eligible for some type of unemployment coverage, even though it is not technically through the normal state system. The pandemic unemployment, as well as all of these other unemployment expansions, are being processed by the state unemployment agencies. What that has meant is not only have we seen an enormous uptick in the normal employers who use unemployment, but we've also seen an additional bucket of people who are now eligible to apply for unemployment with the states. This has caused massive backlogs at the different state agencies as far as the processing of unemployment claims. States are doing the best that they can. The federal government has provided additional money for states to upgrade computers, software, to hire additional folks to answer the phone, and to have money to do all the things they can to try and process claims as quickly as possible. The reality, however, is that there are so many people who are applying for unemployment right now that it is taking time and there is a backlog. Depending on what state you're in, this backlog is being dealt with in different ways. Many states have radically upgraded their ability to handle unemployment claims online. In addition, some states have opened the ability for employers to file on behalf of their employees, cutting down some of the work that the agency has to do so claims can be paid faster. If you're in Georgia and you have someone who's partially unemployed, including a furlough down to 0 hours, filing on behalf of your employees is now required. Georgia is the only state that's making that a requirement, but there are many other states that are requesting employers to file on behalf of their employees. Unemployment agencies are getting claims out as fast as they can, and employees and impacted individuals are receiving unemployment funds, including the additional $600 benefit that's available at the moment. Hopefully, this podcast has given you the basics of unemployment and the changes made by the CARES Act, the FFCRA, and the other federal legislation that has come out to date. In our next session, we're going to talk about what I like to call the meat and potatoes of how to help your employees file for claims, how you deal with supplemental benefits, what happens if you're paying a severance, and other issues that could impact unemployment for your employees if you're forced into a layoff or a furlough situation. Ogletree Deacons does have a national unemployment team that has been created for the COVID-19 pandemic, and we do have 50 state guidance that is available to address the differences between the states. If you'd like any information on the resources that are available, please check the Ogletree Deacons coronavirus resource page or feel free to contact me for additional information. I hope you'll join us for session number 2 of our unemployment podcast related to the COVID-19 crisis. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice.